Well, welcome to the online service for the message this week, which I entitled a very strange title, The Sweet Scent of Death. Very similar message to what I'll bring in church on Sunday. Basically the same, but a little different. And my scripture text this week comes from John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Hear God's Word. This is about Jesus' anointing at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover ceremony began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha and Lazarus sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who would have betrayed him later, said, "That perfume was worth a small fortune. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief who was in charge of his disciples' funds, and he often took some of it for his own use. Red Letter Edition, Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did it in preparation of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but I will not be here with you much longer." May God add the blessings, the hearing, and the reading, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. The sweet scent of death. What's death smell like, anyhow? Well, I'm guessing that many of us might say, well, flowers. But not just any flowers. You know, the heavy, fragrant flowers. Dozens and dozens of them. Huge floral arrangement, freshly picked and designed to impress, or ooze that honeysuckle smell that masks the decomposition of the body. Now, these aren't light wisps of perfume, but a pungent, aromatic, overwhelmingly expressive scent that chokes our senses, even as it chokes us up emotionally when you walk into a funeral home or even into a church sanctuary that's being used for the viewing and the celebration. Why does it choke us up emotionally? Well, I think it is for most of us. This is the scent of funerals and memorial services. That's why I always do when I'm doing one. I always say, we don't have funeral service in the Methodist tradition. We have death, burial, and resurrection service. So whether it's in a church or in a viewing space, that sheer number of fresh floral arrangements containing several deeply kinds of flowers that fill the air. In that room, it's thick. Sometimes it's even a sickening aroma that reminds us with every molecule of our senses that our loved one lies silent among us. With that sticky, fruity, pungent odor comes the smell of silence, the smell of decay, the sickening, sweet smell of death. Lilies, carnation, gladiolus, chrysanthemums, gardenias, all kind of different flowers of the funeral reality. These mask formaldehyde, an embalming fluid which is used in our modern day to prepare the body for burial. But they also mark the reality of death, and in doing so, it becomes the symbol of death itself. All you need to do is get a whiff of that heavy, blanketed sweetness, and a pall comes over our heart. You see, back in Jesus' time, that equally thick, heavy scent was perfumed oil, spikenard, myrrh, aloes, frankincense, and many other spices and resins and other heavily fragrant oils. Because in the first century, and still in the Jewish traditions today, a body must be buried the day of its death. Now, this was not only hygienic custom, but it was also one that honored the dead. Because the worst imaginable fate would be for animals and birds to feast on the corpses of a family member or friend. You see the vultures on the long road sometimes. I saw one on 90. The deer was hit and the vultures were all over it. It's almost God's way of cleaning up the environment, so to speak. But you wouldn't want to imagine that for one of your loved ones. Therefore, they would gather the body of their dead relative or friend and quickly prepare it for burial. Now, tradition called for the body to be cleansed and then wrapped in linen, soaked in the spices and perfumed oil. Spikenard is one of the most expensive but common of the oil used for burial. It's an amber-colored oil derived from a flowering plant from the honeysuckle family, most likely grown in the East and primarily in India and sometimes in the Himalayas. No doubt, it was brought to Israel as an import, perhaps from a merchant ship in Capernaum during the disciples' travels. And we learn in our scripture today that Jesus himself saw the nard as it was put aside for his eventual burial. Then when Mary pours the liquid resin over Jesus' feet and wipes them with her hair, an extremely intimate gesture, Jesus sees her as preparing his body for death. He knew what was coming, and in doing so, she is honoring him beyond measure, but also demonstrating the depth of her faith and the commitment to him and his mission. You see, throughout Jesus' ministries, his disciples continued to try to thwart his plan on his journey to his death. They just didn't fully understand his plan of resurrection, nor did they want to think about it as the end of the mission as they knew it. Their minds were always on plan B, no matter how many times Jesus tells them that he must die in order for them to live. Most of the time, they just passed it off. It's just old Jesus just telling us what's going to come, and we really don't want to think about that. But they really didn't get it and don't want to think about it. I think all of us a little bit in our humanity does that too. When we have somebody that is terminally ill, we don't want to think about them dying. But Jesus was telling them that he must die in order for all of them to live, except for Mary. Now Mary, who is in a prior story, sitting at Jesus' feet, enthralled with who he is, Mary, who believes that Jesus can heal and raise her brother Lazarus from the dead just days before the dinner, it's Mary whose faith is so deep and so pure that she takes Jesus at his word. And instead of trying to coax him from his fate, instead she anoints him in his mission. Mary, who prepared Jesus for burial, honoring him and preparing him for the struggle ahead with every ounce of her perfume and every corner of her heart. It's Mary who sends Jesus on his heartbreaking, difficult journey with the memory of that intimate and loving moment forever locked in his heart and his mind, invoked by the sweet smell of the lingering spikenard. No matter how long that journey takes, and doesn't matter how many clothes that the guards kind of stripped off of him, the smell of that oil is on Jesus' skin and will remain with him to the moment of his death. The feet that trudge through the dirt and the stone carrying that wooden cross every step through the 12 stations of the cross through Jerusalem. That perfume filled the air, reminding him of her care. Even when he was hoisted on the cross, the memory of Mary and her faithfulness and her gentleness and her love will stay with him, just as though she was right there beside him, comforting him in his grief. Her presence is forever preserved in the lingering scent of spikenard. Now for Jesus, that scent of that perfume as he faces his death is his greatest salve. That might be the scent of death, but for Jesus it's also the scent of love, the scent of honor, commitment, comfort. But the other one, you know, Judas. However, that smothering smell of spikenard provoked him with an extreme aversion. Panic sets in, perhaps, because with every breath of that heavy, airless perfume, he is reminded of the deed that he has performed. For he already knows he'll be responsible for Jesus' demise. Smelling that spikenard must have been like the scent of a funeral flower and a murderous and guilty heart, like peering into a mirror. That sweet perfume reminded him of his deed, exposed for all to see. Now for Judas, that scent of spikenard is not the scent just of death, but it's also a scent of murder. For Judas, the scent of spikenard is the sickening sweet scent of betrayal. It was the kiss of death, if you would. No wonder he acted out angrily, accusing Mary of wasting what was meant for the poor. Even the author of the scriptures, John, reminds us just how false that statement was, as Judas was known to have pilfered money from the ministry chest along the way, money he could easily replace with the silver in which he had bought Jesus' death. You know, the 30 pieces of silver that he got to betray Jesus? The smoke and the smells evoked memory, feelings, and thought within him. Because Judas, that smell would haunt him from that day forward, as every whiff he took would remind him of the things that he did, as he breathed in that stale, oppressive air of his own betrayal. Wow. Betrayal. Betrayal. Now, I know that no more stifling emotions than guilt would be. It's tough. We've all experienced that motion of guilt in our life. Not like Judas. But it would be for him that guilt that would finally drive a haunted and tortured Judas to his own grave in Potter's Field. You see, that oil of spikenard prepares us for the reality, the urgency, the intimacy, the poignant death of Jesus by evoking in us the reverent, heart-wrenching feelings of a funeral service. That's why I say we don't have funeral service in our tradition. We have death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was raised from the dead. Because in a sense, at this time in our Lenten journey, we too are preparing ourselves for an emotional and enduring grief as we reflect on what Jesus went through for us. So the challenge for all of us is the sweetness of your love and my love for Jesus. Prepare all of us for the time that's about to come, as we go through the Lenten journey to the time of Resurrection Sunday. Speaking of Sunday, this particular Sunday is Holy Communion. And we are now doing Holy Communion in the traditional sense, along with using the little cups and so forth that we started doing at the beginning of the COVID. You know, it's been 2 years ago, and we're grateful that we can now offer people a choice. Let them to feel comfortable in where they are in this day and time by serving traditional elements and also the little cups. But I want to do something on Sunday at church, and I just want to tell you what I'm going to do, because maybe you'll be here, maybe you won't, but maybe at one time in your life you were anointed in oil that was scented with frankincense and myrrh and the scent of spikenard. I'm going to take the little bottle that I have on the altar, and I want to go before we come to the altar rail for taking the communion in the traditional sense. I want to walk around the congregation with that little bottle of oil and let folks smell it. It's the most beautiful smell that you'd ever want to smell, that they would have an idea of the scent of spikenard. Now, maybe some of them have been anointed and they know that. There's a lot of people that never have come forward to be anointed in oil. It says in James chapter 5 that if anyone is struggling with anything or physical need or spiritual, call upon the elders of the church and let them anoint in oil and pray the prayer of faith. So I'm going to do that. And then we're going to invite the people to participate in the ritual of Holy Communion. Even as we consume the body and the blood of our Lord through the elements, I want us to think about, as we partake of that sacrificial gift of life, to remember the love and the commitment that Jesus must have felt as he not only died a wrenching and painful death, but why he did it. He did it for our sake. What a humbling experience to think that God would die for us, pleading with God in his dying breath to forgive us for what we were about to do. So my prayer for all of us is, may the scent of this day remain with you, and may the sweetness of Jesus' love and his sacrifice remain upon you like perfume, so that you will always remember him from where and from whom you received the gift of life. Oh, we got the gift of life from our earthly parents, but we got the gift of eternal life because of what Jesus has done for us. Well, it's coming up soon, Resurrection Sunday. Join us as we come to Resurrection Sunday. We'll eat at church like we normally do. We're back to a lot of the things that are special for people in the life of Bethel United Methodist Church. But in the meantime, pray you're having a wonderful day. God bless you. God loves you, and so do I.